Well, good evening. Good to see everybody here this evening. We get to start a new series tonight. I know you guys look forward to that. I don't know if you do or not. I do. Tonight we're going to start a series, and you can see it behind me, on the fear of God. And this isn't something you're going to hear a whole lot in a lot of different churches. I think this is kind of out of style. I think it's not popular. I think the fear of God would be it's going to be old school preaching is what it's going to be. And I think it'll give us old school results. We're going to preach on the fear of God for the next 5 weeks. And the reason I'm starting the series on the fear of God, and I just want to let you guys know, I don't just come up with these things out of the air. The reason I'm doing the fear of God is because I've been reading John Knox, and I've done a Sunday school lesson on him. And it was said about John Knox that he was a God-fearing man. So he feared God so much that even on his tombstone it says he feared no other flesh. And I thought, what does it mean to be a God-fearing man? I want to be a God-fearing man. So I started going through the Bible and just looking what does it mean to be God-fearing. And I started ordering books on the fear of God. And so what I want to do is I've put this together, and I want to take this study and teach you what it means to fear God and how we can become God-fearing. I want to be God-fearing. I want you to be God-fearing. I want us to be described as a church, as a God-fearing church. We can say that, but I want to know what it means to be God-fearing. So we're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at that. And we're going to start with tonight showing you two different types of fear. I'm not going to give you the points just yet, but there's two different types of fear on your handouts. And I want to show you the most important fear of all. And it's the fear of God. So I'm not going to read you any passage. Johnny's been doing Numbers for the past few weeks in Sunday school, and he kind of interested me in it. So we're going to be there tonight in two different chapters. So before we get into reading it, let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll start this study tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. I've enjoyed going from Genesis to Revelation, looking at different fear, the things we ought to fear and the things we shouldn't fear. And God, I know that the number one fear, the most important fear of all, that your word shows us over and over and over, is a fear of you. And I know that there's many misunderstandings on what that means. Should we be trembling? Should we be afraid? Should we be running away from you? That's not what it means. So God, help us to learn and to know what it means to be God-fearers. We come from a generation who used to be a God-fearing generation, and we've lost that. So God, help us to be, me to be as a pastor, a God-fearing man. Help me to raise God-fearing children. Help our church to be a God-fearing church. Teach us these things. This is a very serious topic. Teach us these things, and we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We currently live right now in this moment, and you could debate me on this, and I'm pretty sure that you would lose. We live in the safest society in the history of the world. There's never been a society as safe as we are. We are protected. We are secure. There's no other society that even comes close to how safe we are. In every single area of our life, everything is safer. I wrote some of these things down here now. The flights that we get on to fly different places is safer now than it's ever been in the history of the world. The cars that we drive, you guys know this. I don't know how I ever drove a car that didn't have a backup camera. I mean, that was the most dangerous thing in the world, to put me in a car and let me back up. I can't hardly do it now. You put me in that little truck that I have, and I'm sitting there looking for a camera. I just don't even look anymore. Just get out of the way, you know. We drive the safest cars that's ever been driven before. We drink the safest water that anybody's ever drunk before. I remember practicing football, and I was drinking water, and Johnny and Dad, anybody who's ever played knows this. They had a rusty pipe, and all of us would go and stick our mouths on it and drinking out of a rusty pipe. It was nasty water. And today, you know, we don't do that. We drink and have the safest drinking water that any culture has ever had before. We are incredibly safe in what we drink and what we eat. Our homes are safer. We went to schools that were filled with asbestos and mold, and now they're safe. I mean, our schools are safe. Our we have medicine today. The average lifespan is going higher and higher every year because of medicine. I mean, you go back to the old days, and if you got a fever, you might die. Now we have antibiotics, and we have all these medicines that they throw at you, and we live longer and healthier lives. Our whole society is built around keeping us safe. So we live in the safest society in the history of the world, but it's funny that we are also the most fearful society in the world. No society has ever been more scared than our society. This generation, I think it's Generation Z, has been called the anxious generation. So anxious that when the M&Ms revamped their characters of M&Ms, they created an M&M that was just worrisome. Anxious, always nervous, afraid it was going to get eaten, I guess, or whatever. But there's an anxious M&M now, just for this generation. Because we're scared to death. We're always worried. We're always anxious. We're always shaking. We're scared of everything. We're scared of sickness and terrorism, extreme weather. We're scared of the future and the unknown. We're scared of what's going to happen in politics and the economy. We're scared of the climate changing in 50 years or so. We're scared of everything. We're so scared that now on college campuses across America, there's a thing called safe spaces. So that you can go and sit in a circle and nobody will challenge your views. We're scared of opposing views. We're scared of criticism. We've gone from a generation that stormed the beaches of Normandy to a generation who's scared and sitting in safe places because they're afraid of opposing views. That's what we've become. From storming the beaches to safe places on college campuses. We have a pandemic of fear. Television feeds into it. The news feeds into it. We're always being told what to be afraid of. Politicians feed on that. They want to feed our fear so that we'll vote a certain way. It's all about fear. We are the anxious generation. And we're doing everything we can to fix the fear, to take the fear away, and nothing works. And I don't think the problem, we're doing everything to take fear away, but I don't think the fear is a problem. Get this. I think it's misplaced fear that's the problem. It's not that we fear, it's that what we don't fear that is the problem. We fear everything but what we ought to be fearing. We fear everything in the world but God. When you have a godless culture, you will automatically have a fearful culture. And that's what we've created today. So the answer to our fear problem is fear. And it's not fear of everything, it's fear of God. And when you get that one fear right, where you fear God above everything else, then all those other fears start to go away and find their own place. So we've got to get back to the main thing. We've got to get back to fearing God. And listen to this quote. Charles Spurgeon said, "The fear of God is the death of every other fear." He said, "The fear of God is like a mighty lion, and it chases away every other fear in your life." Can I say that again? That may be my favorite quote that Spurgeon ever said. Listen to this. "The fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty," I'm going to add, "roaring lion, it chases away every other fear in your life." We've got to get back to fearing God again. The generation that stormed the beaches of Normandy was a God-fearing generation. The generation that sits in safe spaces, afraid of everything, is a godless culture. So we've got to get back to the fear of God. That's the whole point of this series. We need to fear God and fear everything else less. So I'm in Numbers chapter 13. If you want to turn there, I think this is exactly what we see here in Numbers 13. You guys know the story. I don't have to read it to you, but in Numbers 13, God told Moses to send out spies to the promised land. And he sent out 12 spies. And I don't have to read the names of all 12 spies. It goes from verse 4 all the way down to verse 15. And he names all 12 spies that he sent. And I'm sure that you guys know of, have heard of, two of the 12 spies. There's two spies that are famous and 10 spies that aren't very famous. So he sends them out to check out the land that he's already told them that it's theirs. I'm going to read some verses to you. It says in verse 1 of chapter 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." So you go down there, and every tribe had one person that they sent, and they all go into the mountains, they all go on a camping trip, they all go, and I guess they didn't have binoculars then, but they go up into a mountain, and they're going to, for 40 days, check out the land. See what it's like. And then they're going to come back, and they're going to give a report on what they saw. This is a great story. Understand me, that all 12 of those spies, every single one of them, saw the same thing. So they go back. and the reports are two totally different things. You got to ask, as they give these reports, are they seeing the same thing? And they were seeing the exact same thing, but they were seeing these things, get this, from different vantage points, from different outlooks, with different attitudes, and I'm going to say this, with different fears. And I'm going to go ahead and say this at the outset. We look out over the world and the landscape of our lives today, and we're going to see it from two different vantage points. From a cowardly fear or a courageous fear. It's one or the other. So how are you looking at life? And it should be with a courageous fear of God. So let's look at this. I want to show you 10 feared everything else, the cowardly fear, and 2 feared God. It was a courageous fear. And you'll see here how what we fear shapes and controls everything else we do in life. So let's look at it. I want to show you first the cowardly fear. Only 2 points tonight. The cowardly fear. Look at verse 26. They come back with their report. They come back with a cluster of grapes unlike anything you've ever seen. Carrying them on a stick. They're so big. And in verse 26, this first group, this group of 10, gives their report. And it says, they come and report the facts. Verse 26, they came back and they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. So they're sitting there talking, giving this report to all the children of Israel. And if you've been with us in Sunday school, it's a lot of people that they're giving this report to. So unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, verse 26, and to all the congregation, and they showed them. It's like a show and tell. Here's the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, here's the facts, just the facts. We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it's flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. It's again show and tell. Look what we've brought back. Verse 28, nevertheless, here's the facts to here's their opinion. And you can, I think, when you read this, you can hear the fear in their voices. Trembling, scared voices. Nevertheless, look what they say. The people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And I would take you to verse 33 that the children of Anak were giants. We've seen giants there. Verse 29, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. So they're giving this report, and they're saying, here you go. This is what we're seeing. And I don't want to jump down to verse 31. Let's keep reading. But the men that went up with them said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we are. You can feel the shaking in their voices. We can't do this. You like that? That's my scared voice. They're stronger than we are. You see that? But they're stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought an evil report. It could be an exaggerated report. When you are afraid of something, you exaggerate that thing. Take it too far. It's always more than what you think it is. Whatever it is that you're fearing right now, when you fear it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what they're saying here. We can't do this. Watch what it says. An evil report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that it eats up the inhabitants thereof. It'll eat us alive. And all the people that we saw, they're men of great stature. They're big guys. Verse 33, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants back in Genesis. And we were in our own sight, look at this, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sights. There's walls, and they're strong, and they're mighty, and they're big. It's the giants versus the grasshoppers. We have no hope. There's no chance. I don't care what God said we're going to do. We know we can't do it. They're too big for us. Fear in their voices. Fear of the giants, fear of the walls, fear of circumstances. Fear is driving their decision. And there's not one mention in their report, not at all, one mention of God. I looked for it. I've read this report so many times this week. This is a faithless fear. And it spread like wildfire. You know fear spreads? Go down with me to verse 1 of chapter 14. So they give this report. And all the congregation, you see that? And we could be in the millions of people. 10 spies spread fear to millions. Are you with me on this? A little bit of fear spreads. And watch what happens. And the congregation, all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. Now there's fear in their tears. We can't do it. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children, see, their worry now goes, we're going to lose our wives and we're going to lose our children. They're exaggerating it even more. Our wives and our children should be prey. I would underline this statement. Were it not better for us just to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's get a new leader. Let's vote in a new guy. Let's hold an election right now. We need a guy that can keep us safe. It doesn't say that, but you can assume. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They began to weep. 10 spies fed their fears. 10 spies fed their unbelief. 10 spies said, you can't do it. So they're now ready to quit and go back. They want to go back to Egypt. And Egypt was hell on earth to them. I mean, you read it. You study it with Johnny as we were studying in Exodus. Egypt was the worst place on the planet. It was awful for them. And now this fear, this crippling, paralyzing fear that is now keeping them from doing what God told them to do. They're sitting there shaking, ready to give up and to go back. They feared the land more than they feared God. They feared the circumstances more than they feared God. They feared it so much that they were willing to go back to Egypt just so they'd be safe. At least we'll be safe there. We may be enslaved. We may lose all of our freedom, but at least we'll be safe. Their circumstances, their enemies, and their problems were bigger than. And this is where I get the fear thing. Their circumstances, their problems, and their enemies were bigger than their God. They'd rather be a slave and be safe. Not one mention of God. Not one mention of the God who sent the plagues, and they saw it. Not one mention of a God who delivered them. Not one mention of the God in the cloud. Not one mention of God on Mount Sinai. A God that had showed himself bigger than any circumstance, bigger than any enemy, bigger than any problem. This God had been so big for them. But now their problems and their enemies and their circumstances had grown bigger than their God. They feared their circumstances more than they feared God. And it made them cowards. Fear always magnifies the problem and minimizes God. Now let me get to this. Out of these 10 spies, and this is the main point. Out of the 10 spies that brought this report, who maximized or magnified their problem and minimized their God and brought this report back to Israel, out of those 10 spies, how many of you without looking can name one of them? Johnny, don't count. We can read through the names. You guys want to read through them with me? And I don't want to do this because I probably can't pronounce them. But let me start in verse 4 and I'm going to read the names. And these were the names, 13 verse 4. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammu. That's probably not how you say it. Shammua, the son of Zakur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb. You've heard of Caleb. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea. That's Joshua. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi. Of the tribe of Dan, Emil. Of the tribe of Asher, Sethur. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai. Of the tribe of Gad, Gaul.
So then I named all 12 of the spies, and there's only two that you knew. And the other 10 you've never heard of, not even Shamu. You haven't. So you have these 10 spies who were cowardly, afraid. They were magnifying their problem and minimizing their God. History never remembers the name of cowards. They will forever be remembered as fearful cowards. And I read this name of this list, and I said, here we are in a society, get this, that is scared to death of everything. And only the courageous will be remembered. Not these fearful people. Not these cowards who are scared to death of big giants and big walls, and they're stronger and they're mightier than we are. They will not be remembered. We don't want to be one of the 10. We don't want to be one of the majority here. We don't want to fear the wrong thing. We want to be one of the 2 spies who are courageous. God, give us the fear of Joshua and Caleb. And let's look at them. That's next, 2 points. I gave you the cowardly fear. Now I want to give you the courageous fear. I love these guys. Caleb stands out above everybody else, even Joshua here. Look at this courageous report. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And then they go and speak to all the company of the children of Israel. They give their report. You with me on that? You have the 10 gave their report. And then you have the 2 gives their report. Saw the same thing. I mean, everything was the same. Can you imagine that walk on the way back? Joshua and Caleb over here saying, we got this. And the other 10 over there saying, oh, we were never going to get this. Which one sounds like our society? Here they go, their report, saying, the land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. And the very next verse of their report mentions who? If the Lord, which is if Yahweh. If Yahweh delights in us, you see that? First thing, it's Yahweh. First thing, it's God. If God takes delight in us, then He will give us the land. Do you see that? They feared God, Yahweh, the God on Mount Sinai, the God of the Exodus, the God in the cloud, the God that had delivered them. They saw God as a big God. And if God wants to deliver us, He'll do it. Amen. They saw God as big and the problems as small. It says, and then He'll give us the land. Keep reading with me. He'll give us the land. And He'll give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. What? I love these guys. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What? Whose side do you want to be on? I want to be on Joshua and Caleb's side. Amen. Fear not. The Lord is with us. That's good. It shows here. And I want to move over just a couple verses. This wasn't a... you need to see this. This wasn't a... Those 10 spies are pessimists. They're a glass half empty kind of guy. And Joshua and Caleb were just optimists. They had a different viewpoint. They had a different character about them. No. I want to show you this. Look at verse 24. 14:24, God says, but my servant Caleb, he has another spirit in him. He's followed me fully. And him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That verse says he has another spirit in him, a different attitude, a different spirit, a different fear. He's different than everybody else. He has a different fear. He stood out like a sore thumb. He had what Paul would call in 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. Caleb stood out. That's what we want. I can even take you back to the initial report he gave in verse 30 of chapter 13. And Caleb, this is just so good. We want that. Verse 30, what's this? He said, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses. You know what that word steel means? I looked it up in the Hebrew. You guys are going to be just blown away by what steeled means. And Caleb hushed the people. quiet. Don't listen to them. And look what he says. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What? He's seen the obstacles. He knew there was giants there. There were giants there. He'd seen the walls. He knew that Israel wasn't an army. There were farmers. There were workers. There were laborers. He knew it looked bad. But he stood up in front of the people and said, "Be quiet. Let's go." It's courage. We want a fear that says, "Let's go." We want a fear that sees God. That's what Caleb had. God is bigger than the giants. The way we fear God will determine our response when things come up.
Amen.
And the way he feared God said, "Go." The bigger we see God, that's Caleb, the bigger we see God. And that's what fear is. And I don't want to get into it because we're talking about it next week. It's a reverence and it's an awe and it's seeing God as who he is. And it's something that we all want, that God is bigger than everything that we face. It's that reverence for a big God. God's bigger than those giants, and he was. God is greater than that opposition, and he was. God is on my side, and God will take care of us.
Amen.
He had a greater respect and awe and reverence for God than he did for the enemy. And I want to show you, I got a couple minutes. You guys want to go to Joshua with me? Joshua 14. I should have done a character study on Caleb. This is Caleb. See, in Numbers, I think Joshua and Caleb is about 40 years old, somewhere around that. And you go to Joshua 14, and I think they're about 80 years old, around about. And he says in verse 10, and I'm going to read these. He hasn't changed. Verse 9, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." That's fear. Wholly following and reverencing and respecting and honoring him. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." This is Caleb. "The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses." So that's 45 years. It's 45 years since. He's 85 years old. He's an old man. He had to have lost some of that since then, hasn't he? "Ever since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, now lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." You see that? I'm as strong today as I was the day he sent me out to be a spy. Man, Caleb. I want to be like Caleb, a God-fearing man.
Amen.
He says, "As my strength was then." Again, then is the outspine. "As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in." He says, "I'm just as strong today." And why is he just as strong today as he was then? Because he still had a fear of God then. You can be just as strong at 85 as you was at 40 if your fear of God is the same. God-fearing men. Look, it says in verse 12, and I'll stop. "Now therefore, give me this mountain."
Amen.
You see that? What a verse. From verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, "Let's go." To Joshua 14, verse 12, "Give me this mountain." What? You could keep reading it. "Wherever the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He feared God and not man. That's a great thing. I could have titled this sermon, "Who Do You Fear?" He feared God. Back to Numbers 14. I don't have time to get into the rest of the story. But God took care of them. God did exactly for
Joshua and Caleb as he said he'd do for Joshua and Caleb. God always honors those who fear him.
Amen.
They wanted to stone him after they gave that report. Let me show you. Verse 10, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I mean, I don't know what else you're going to stone them with. Bade stone with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them and will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God honors those who fear him, and God doesn't honor those who don't fear him. Numbers 14, he lets Joshua and Caleb go into the land. They're spared and the other 10 aren't. We want that fear. We want fear that'll be remembered. I've said it again, out of all 12 of these spies, and I just named all 12 of them to you. Who's the only two that you remember? Joshua and Caleb. The ones who feared God and had courage. Why? Because they feared God, not man. And you can name any of the great men of church history, and they've all been men who feared God. That's what this is all about for me. I want to be that kind of man. I want you to be that kind of men and women. I want us to be a God-fearing church. God honors those who fear him. And we want that. I can look throughout history. I mean, Martin Luther was a God-fearing man. The whole Catholic Church was against him, but he still took his hammer and his nail and his thesis and he nailed them to the door at Wittenberg and he said, I fear God and not man. And God honored that. John Knox, he's become one of my favorites. I mean, he might get the picture on the background of my phone before it's over with. I mean, Spurgeon might have to move over, and it's going to be John Knox, who feared no flesh, only God. That's on his tombstone. Here lies a man who feared no flesh. He feared God. I'm going to give you one story. You've probably heard it before. He was in prison as a slave on a ship. And the people who were enslaving him brought on the ship an idol of the Virgin Mary and went around to everybody on the ship and made them kiss her and bow down. And they got to John Knox, who was one of the rowers on the bottom of the ship. And he grabbed, they said, they kiss, bow down, you know. He grabbed that idol, threw it in the water. And this is what he said. Let Our Lady learn to swim. Feared no man. Only God. And I could go on and on and on and on and on of men throughout church history. Charles Spurgeon, a God-fearing man. John Calvin, I told you the story about him and his church when they come to take his pulpit. And they drew their swords at him, and he spread out in front of them and said, you have to go through me first. God-fearing men. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield. Just go down the line. And the ones who will stand out in this time, in this day and age, in our culture today, will be God-fearing men and women. And that's what we want. That's what we're after. Those that fear God are always bold and courageous and make a difference. And God honors that. One more passage and I'll close. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 112. Take this with you. This will be the study's main verse. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. There it is. God honors those who fear him. And I pray that through this study over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we've determined we want to be one of the two, not one of the 10. We want to be a God-fearing people. And our prayer needs to be, God, make us a God-fearing people. You'll stand out. You'll be courageous. You'll be bold. And God will honor it. And I'm sure we'll make a difference. Let's be God-fearing. Let's have the most important fear of all. Let's see our God as bigger than all the problems and enemies and circumstances of our life. I'm going to go back to the quote. You guys want it? Yeah, you do. The fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases away all other fears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us. I think this is a very neglected topic. You put fear out. I want to preach on fearing God. People don't want to hear that. If I put a sermon out there talking about don't fear anymore, it'd be popular. Nobody talks about the fear of God anymore. And God, I pray that as we teach this and as we show people what this is and how we can have it, that we would become God-fearing in a world that's scared to death of everything but God. May we fear only God and no flesh. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.